I'm Bob Andelman, and this is the Mr. Media Interview. On today's show, I'll talk to Cheryl Holland, a first-time novelist whose debut is Pain and Suffering, a Webb's Glass Shop mystery. It's the first in a series of short stories set right here in St. Petersburg, Florida, where the author and I both live. Stick around, and while you're visiting the Grand Central District, I recommend the urban sampler of brisket, pulled pork, chicken, and a side of sweet potato souffle found only at Urban Brew and Barbecue. First novels are hard. Writing them is a challenge. Finding a publisher is a major mountain to climb, and promoting them may be the hardest task of all. But when my friend Howard Finberg told me that a friend of his was writing a mystery series set in downtown St. Petersburg, Florida, I committed without even reading the first book. After all, Mr. Media has been describing St. Pete as the new media capital of the world since 2007, whether the St. Pete's Chamber of Commerce likes it or not. So how could I not help an up-and-coming new writer? Now, Cheryl Holland's first mystery is Pain and Suffering. And that's the title. That's not a description of reading it by any means. Now, the pain she's referring to is spelled P-A-N-E, as in pane of glass. Now, that established, it is nonetheless a story of the pain, and that is P-A-I-N, endured by our heroine, Savannah Webb, following the sudden death of her father, the owner of Webb's Glass Shop, in the booming, yet still quaint, Grand Central District of downtown St. Petersburg. Holland uses the invented store to share some love with an endless array of real-life St. Pete landmarks and restaurants, including the Museum of Fine Arts, Casita Taqueria, Queen's Head, Three Daughters Brewing, and so much more. It is, of course, a first novel, and so, you know, it's not perfect. But it is a mix of intrigue, detective work, and recognizable places that anyone who lives in the burg or who's visited in the last 5 years will certainly find entertaining. Cheryl Holland, welcome to Mr. Media.
Thank you very much. I'm so happy to be here.
Delighted to have you. I had this feeling of deja vu, like we've been through this before. I don't know why. Cheryl, since we don't have a deep well of stories about you as an author, tell us a little about your background before you became a writer.
Well, I was an engineer. In my prior career, I started as a software computer systems engineer working at ECI right near Tyrone Mall as one of those poor little spooks that are kept in a black room, never to see light of day. And that was very exciting, but it does get old being in a dark room or locked up. So I found a job over across the bay building flight simulators, and not a secret word anywhere. It was fabulous, and they are huge, glorious, 6 degree of freedom moving machines. So I worked my way up through computer systems engineer to project engineer, and then finally to program management. And I was so fortunate to be able to build these flight simulators all over the world, from England to Singapore, India, Taiwan, Australia, even South Korea. So it was a fabulous, fabulous experience. And during all those long haul flights, that's when I began writing. So I'd already been able to use my skills in organizing things. So I applied it to a mystery. And it's been working.
I'm just curious, what was the name of the flight simulator company?
It was, at the time, it was called Reflectone. And then it was purchased by BAE. And then it was purchased by CAE.
I was actually there when it was Reflectone. You know, as you were saying that, I suddenly had this memory of being, and I thought, when was I in flight simulators? And I thought, what is the name of that company? And it had to be the same one. So, yeah, I've been over there. I'll have to dig up some stories and send them to you. Oh, the old times. and so you started writing out of boredom.
Well, they are long flights. The one from L.A. to Sydney is 17 hours. And even I can't sleep that much. I do tend to sleep on planes. I mean, you either get good at it or you don't. Right. But 17 hours. And then, of course, I was off site a lot for months at a time. So I would use that time as well to try to learn how to write, which is, I think, one of the only careers where you teach yourself how to write. So lots of trial and error in the writing process. But I've gotten to the point where at least I have a book published.
What kind of writing were you doing at the time? What kind of authors were inspiring you? You know, did you model yourself after anyone in particular?
Of course, influenced by Agatha Christie and Dorothy L. Sayers. The nice character development. There's always a puzzle. Justice will be served. I truly enjoy those. In modern day, I absolutely love Louise Penny and her wonderful little village of Three Pines. And those things, I think, are my influence.
Now, as an engineer, did you try to break down the way, you know, like an Agatha Christie or Louise Penny, that they wrote their stories? Did you try to break it down? Did you try to break them down to essential parts, or did you take a more ethereal approach to it?
Very deliberate and scientific. Not really much use once you start typing. But I plot very seriously. So I'll spend a month plotting and then the next 3 months the writing. So it's fully 1/4 of my time spent in a book is plotting.
And are we seeing In Pain and Suffering? Is that the first book that you wrote, or were there several others that gone by the wayside?
Oh, there are quite a few under the bed. I did one on photography at one point, and that was fun. It was based on an Indian wedding, and I called it Shooting Brides. I love titles, as you know. Then I did several flight simulator stories, and I just wasn't having any luck getting an agent. I got very close. I would get, you know, requests for partials and fulls, and it just wasn't quite there. Well, it wasn't until I kind of combined my two passions. My husband and I have been working in stained glass and fused glass for about 25 years. So, you know, all of my family have, you know, stained glass windows and Christmas dishes and jewelry. And it wasn't until I married the two, writing in a glass shop, that everything absolutely took off. Within weeks, I got an agent and I got a 3-book deal. So combine your passions. It works.
Well, and so, I mean, who would have thought that a glass shop could be the place of mystery, or more than one mystery anyway? I mean, what would make someone think, oh boy, I got to set a mystery here?
I think there are only two other cozy mystery series about glass, so it's pretty rare. It's not a craft as much as knitting or crocheting. You have to have some serious training to work in glass, and it's a serious commitment. You need a lot of equipment. Some of it's dangerous. A lot of it's hot. So I know both of the other authors who have had glass series. So and that really intrigued my publisher. They thought it was unique to have an author who actually has a little glass studio behind the house. So I could bring that authenticity to my writing, which is important for me. As an engineer, I really have to have seen it, felt it, smelt it, worked it to write about it.
That makes sense. And why did you set the book, or the series, I should say, in St. Pete, and in particular the Grand Central District? I mean, you know, you've been all over the world. You've been a lot of places. You've done a lot of things. Come on, St. Pete's just a sleepy little burg, right? That's what the world thinks.
Well, it's not so sleepy anymore. I think we have more breweries per square inch than anywhere. And art galleries. They're just popping up everywhere. But the true reason is that Bradley and Elwine own Grand Central Stained Glass, right there in the Grand Central District. And we have worked with them since they opened 10 years ago. My husband's their oldest unpaid intern. I go in and help with, color and I get advice from Elwine on to make sure that I've got my facts right in the books. And it just seems so natural to use our friends as a resource. And it's been fabulous. They helped me launch the book. We had a great big party in there. And it was an excellent choice.
So you're saying St. Pete is not sleepy?
Not at all. If you've been downtown any length of time, after dark, the parties begin. And since there are so many places that are close, pub crawls have really become the new thing for St. Pete. And it looks like, every weekend it's something else. Either people are doing a run from pub to pub or it's exciting now. Or staggering from pub to pub.
Yeah, it's crazy. For people who have not been here in a while or have never been here, it's gone from being a couple of restaurants along Beach Drive to every inch of Beach Drive being full of restaurants and pubs and galleries, to expanding away from just the waterfront to Central Avenue, which is the Grand Central District you refer to. For people who don't know, it actually extends now for about 28 blocks, pushing forward. Soon it'll probably go all the way to 34th Street. You could literally walk the entire Central Avenue in that 30 block distance, and never your beer glass, your solo cup will never go dry.
Never.
You'll keep running into people you know, or you'll make new friends, and there's arts and antiques, and it's just crazy. But my concern here is that if this book and this series becomes a hit, you're just going to bring more people down here, and we don't really need that, do we? Do we really want any more people finding out how cool it is here?
Yes, we do.
Speak for yourself.
We need to share.
All right. I mean, pretty soon everyone's going to be wanting their own little craftsman bungalow, right?
Well, they're not building anymore. That's true. But I don't mind that they have a better value today.
Yeah, the property values have not been an issue for the last couple of years, I guess. Okay, so we talked about the craft novel thing. A glass shop. I guess I'm not a crafty kind of guy, but a glass shop. You have people in the book. You talk about sharp edges and fitting pieces together. And like, really? I mean, have you ever heard of an actual glass shop where a murder mystery happened? I mean, a murder actually happened. Does that ever happen in your circles? I don't know.
Well, no. It's a premise, and it comes along with the genre. It's like the Cabot Cove syndrome. Why would anyone live in Cabot Cove? Because she would write about you and your murder.
You would die.
Yes, yes. You should move instantly. But the glass actually does give me kind of license to play. I can concentrate on a different kind of glass each book. The first book was about stained glass and piecing together glass. The second book is about fusing glass and about judging an art festival. And the third glass is about upcycling or recycling, which is something that this area has started to embrace. With all of the Saturday morning markets and craft fairs, a lot of reuse is going on. So the third book handles that. And then that's the nice thing about glass. It is such a broad and rich art that I don't think I'll ever run out of subjects.
Okay. Now, Webb's Glass Shop, of course, is not an actual place. You mentioned it's based on the shop that your friends run. But it does reference, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, kind of a long-gone city landmark, Webb City, which was known for decades as the world's most unusual drugstore. Can you, if it exists, can you talk a little bit more about the connection or what you were trying to do by calling it Webb's?
I just couldn't see not referencing, you know, one of the ways that people were attracted to St. Petersburg in the 40s, 50s, and 60s. And Doc Webb was still here when we were here. So we actually got to see the drugstore with the mermaid in it and the 5-cent hamburger. We had one of those. Now,
Dancing chicken? Did you see the dancing chickens?
No, I don't think so. Okay, didn't see that. But it left soon after we got here in 75. And that sort of entrepreneurship is something that I admire. So that's why I kind of named it Webb's. So the insiders would know.
All right. And now you do mention quite a few real places in the city. I mentioned some of them, Three Daughters Brewing, Queenshead, Museum of Fine Arts, Casita Taqueria, which was not originally in the district, it was on 4th Street, but of course it's relocated to a bigger place. Did you ask the proprietors of these places for permission ahead of time to use them in the book, or are some of them only discovering their reference post-publication?
I did ask them. I'm not sure all of them believed me, especially Three Daughters. They were going, oh, yeah, sure, yeah, this will be great. And to be honest, I think I was a little hesitant as well, but they gave their permission freely, as did Queenshead next door to my imagined location. And I've had a really warm reception from the business community. I'm having a book signing at Three Birds Tavern, which is also, you know, has been in St. Petersburg forever. So, yeah, the community is very warm, and that's one of the things that I meant to portray in the books, is that small community areas, they really have to work together, especially the businessmen, in order to help their district grow. And that's part of the book.
So, Three Birds, I recommend the Guinness mushroom burger, one of the best burgers in town, and
yes.
with the side of the grilled asparagus. Do you have something you like there particularly?
Well, I like the lamb burger sliders. That's my favorite. I developed a taste for lamb in Australia, and their lamb is excellent at Three Birds.
My wife would say try the airplane chicken. Now, do you have a favorite brew over at Three Daughters?
I like the Beach Blonde Ale.
I think my wife would agree with you on that. I'm not a drinker, so I don't have a thought on that. What about Casita Taqueria? What do you like over there?
The grilled shrimp tacos.
Oh, that sounds good.
Oh, they're excellent. They're freshly prepared, not fussy, just really good fast food.
All right, one more. What do you recommend at Queenshead?
Ah, well, that's tough. The fish and chips is true British style, believe me. Except for they don't have the mushy peas, and I understand that. They have, more Americanized peas, but the fish and chips is awesome.
Okay, I just thought I'd check. Now, as we go into the next novel, in the series, will there be more St. Pete locations, more variety, or will you be sticking to the same places and keeping them in the mix?
No, just like little old St. Pete herself, we will have new places. This second one is called Shards of Murder and moves down to Beach Drive for some of the action. So that's gets me into Moon Underwater, the rooftop bar. No, I can't remember it. We go downtown.
Okay, all right. For our viewers or listeners who, may be very envious and want to be you someday. What can you tell us about the path from keyboard to publication? Now, you had written, you mentioned that you had written a number of manuscripts that, you know, kind of almost made it. What was the difference this time? How did you wind up with an agent, and how did you wind up with Kensington?
I think my writing finally matured to the point where it was enjoyable to read. That sounds so simple, but it is devilishly hard. But I also have enjoyed having a person-to-person critique group. So that's incredibly useful. As well as I'm a member of the Sisters in Crime, who promote learning and have online classes that help you concentrate on, you know, parts of the writing process, like dialogue and like plotting. It's a very supportive group. So whatever you're going to write in, you need to find your tribe so that you can continue, you know, networking with them and also improving the craft.
Okay. So when this book has been out about 2 weeks, I think, at this point. When will the second book launch?
It's coming out the end of February.
Oh, pretty, that's pretty very good turnaround. Quick. Yeah.
Well, I've got them done.
Oh, okay. All right. So is the third one scheduled as well?
Yes. The third one is scheduled for the end of June, and it's called Cracked to Death.
I think I've experienced that. All right. Well, folks, listen, you can find Cheryl Holland's first novel, Pain and Suffering, a Webb's Glass Shop Mystery, in great stores everywhere. You can order right now at a great price at MrMedia.com. If you're watching the show on MrMedia.com, you probably already know this, but to the left or right underneath the video, you'll see the cover of the book. You can click on it and order it. I understand by drone you can have it in 30 minutes or less. Actually, in the Tampa Bay Area, the reality is you can probably get it by the end of the day. That's possible. Or you can get it electronically immediately, or you can have it in a day or two, you know, the usual way. Cheryl, is there a website you want to refer people to for more information?
Yes, I have my own website. It's www.cherylholon.com.
And are you on Twitter and Facebook, that kind of thing?
I am. I'm under Cheryl Holland in both Facebook and Twitter.
Okay. That makes it easy to follow you. I'm very happy for any new author to get the first book out. Congratulations. And Cheryl Holland, thank you so much for joining us today on Mr. Media.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I enjoyed it.
Media is recorded live before a studio audience full of people who came to town for the beach and left with full, happy tummies and wild nightlife tales in the new media capital of the world, St. Petersburg, Florida.